This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Show live and on location at CB and Potts Restaurant and Tap Room at the Collindale Golf Course. We got a lot going on out here as it is a kickoff Friday. Friday Night Lights, kickoff CSU football weekend party starting up here at 3 o'clock. There's going to be live music. We got the beer tent setting up. Zvi Brewing is out here. New Belgium Brewing is going to be out here. And there's going to be food all over the place. We just had some amazing lunch out here at CB and Potts. Man, the environment is so cool. It is. We're sitting under the KFKA tent, which don't ask me how long it took us to put it up this time. We're getting worse with every remote we do, apparently. But it's just the setting. You come inside, you sit on the patio, you overlook the golf course. It's just a beautiful scene out here, and we're going to be, it's going to be a party. Get out here while you can, and hang out with us. We're going to be live and on location until 4 o'clock, but I want to know who you got in the Border War. Big game coming up tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Colorado State playing host to the Wyoming Cowboys. They had the boot run today, and that's always a cool thing. The running of the boot, is that what we say? It's a great tradition. I'm so glad that Wyoming and CSU were able to get this done. And you saw the story, too, that hit across all sports, where they're going to keep this thing going. And it's important. You know, rivalries make college sports, especially football, and we've lost a lot of that over the years. So when we see this continue, it's so important. You know, you love to hate each other, you hate to love each other, whatever it is. And it's just one of those games that I really love. I know nationally people probably don't care about this game because both teams haven't really done a ton, you know, especially recently. But it's an important game to have here, and I love it when we get these local matchups. So I'm really excited tomorrow. Picks are coming up here in less than an hour. Not sure where I'm going, guys. I got three picks to make. You know, next week we'll be full in. We'll have every team, everything, because the Broncos will be involved. But 0-2 to start the picks. Missed on UNC. Not only did they didn't cover, they lost. That was disappointing. Tough game. And then the CU game last night. And I think I'm getting texts about, like, the go-go offense, really, what is it? It's basically just a lot of running. I mean, it's you put two tailbacks back there, and it's kind of misdirection handoffs, and you're constantly in motion moving around. From what I saw, anyway, I think Brennan Marion is the real deal. I had a text earlier that was, you know, basically saying, Brennan Marion could be the next head coach. I tweeted that out last night, that whatever happens with Coach Prime, because I'm not a Buffs hater. I know a lot of people think I am, but I'm not. I've never been. I would tell you right now, my fandom of Coach Prime has certainly ran its course. I don't hate the guy. I think he's entertaining as hell. He's fun to talk about. But I'm not crazy about everything that even last night. He's got to do his receipts thing. You know, hey, we ran for this many yards. They only ran for this many yards. I thought we were supposed to be small. I think he pays attention to that stuff too much. And he lets it bleed out into his press conferences. And so, yeah, I'm not really sure what the long-term plan is going to be with Coach Prime. I don't think he's going anywhere at the end of the season unless he retires, which he won't. I don't believe CU's going to buy him out. But if Brennan Marion sticks around long enough, because he was certainly the talk of the broadcast. I think there was more talk about, I almost heard more stuff about Brennan Marion than I did Coach Prime. And again, they didn't score 30 points. This go-go offense, we were like, oh, man, they might average 30 points a game this year. They might need to. I don't know if they do. I mean, defensively, they showed me a lot. I think Georgia Tech, I don't know that that's a good football team. I don't think they're going to have the year that they had last year by any stretch. But it doesn't make me think that CU's any better than I originally thought before that game. Is that fair? They needed this game. I went back and forth on it. It was not an obvious Georgia Tech cover in my mind. But I was leaning that way more throughout the week. But they showed me, hey, they're better than Georgia Tech. They probably should have won by even more. But weird things happened. And again, Georgia Tech got a fumble recovery for a touchdown that they blew the whistle. While the guy was getting tackled before he even went down, the refs are blowing the whistle. That could have changed the game around. Maybe you're not as committed to your run game. Maybe you start forcing things with Juju Lewis a little more, but instead, they don't get the fumble. CU gets a second chance. They don't do anything with it. They turn it over on downs, and I thought, man, if they can't punch it in from there, I'm not so sure. And I didn't like one of the misdirection handoffs. It was kind of like a mini reverse. I didn't like that by CU. So I had my concerns there, and Georgia Tech was running the ball effectively in that first drive. After that, CU buckled down. Smitty texting in, Dion has always had rabbit ears and a thin skin. Remember the McCarver incident? Yeah, of course. Yeah, he pays attention to all of this stuff. And listen, he's a promoter. He's a recruiter. And if they can win, them winning in Georgia last night was actually huge for many reasons. Because Keeler, I think, wrote about this in the Post. They've already planted the flag in Georgia as one of their recruiting spots because of his familiarity with that area. Winning in Georgia last night really helped their recruiting stuff. If they win, then, yeah, you put up with all of the Coach Prime stuff. The same can be said about Sean Payton. I was on the record saying I did not want to trade a first-round pick for Sean Payton. I was never a diehard fan of Sean. I didn't like the Bounty Gate stuff. After that, he was lukewarm to me. I was neither a diehard fan. I didn't hate the guy. But I wasn't crazy really about his attitude. But they're winning. And you know what? His attitude makes total sense when you win games. Guys, it's not rocket science. It's not one of those things where I just look for reasons to dislike Coach Prime. And Sean's misremembering reporters' names, and he's short with the reporters, and he's basically talking about how smart he is, like with the J.J. McCarthy thing. All that stuff runs thin. You know, even Nathaniel Hackett. He wasn't a cocky guy. He had the Star Wars stuff. Mike, you would appreciate that. He was a nerd, and I liked it. Then when he started losing, the nerd stuff wasn't that fun. That's as simple as it is. Jay Norvell really liked him as a person. Thought he was great in the community. From what I heard, he was great in the community. And he was a good a promoter of his football team. Great on the show. Loved having him on my show. When they started losing, none of that matters. It goes out the door. Oh, the nice guy, the gas station shirts. All that stuff starts to run thin, to wear thin. And that's where I am with Coach Prime at this point. And that's where we'll be with Jim Mora. I haven't heard anything bad about Jim Mora yet. Had him on once so far. Hopefully we can get him on next week. But his thing's going to run wear thin if they start to lose. That's it. There's no vendetta. There's no, oh, you're just out to get Prime. Yeah, his shtick annoys me. It does. But if they win, and CU's like constantly competing in big, big games, then it doesn't matter. You can do that until you're blue in the face. What is it? Who's the fighter? Conor McGregor? We loved that. We loved how over-the-top cocky he was, and a great promoter, great fight promoter. Quick on his feet, quick with his words. And then when he getting older, he starts losing. Messed up his knee 5 seconds before a fight, you know, a few months ago. It's not as fun. It's annoying. So that's what it is. And I felt that way, you know, even with Mike Bobo. Again, another nice dude, wasn't over the top, wasn't cocky, any of that stuff. Well, then that started to go away. Once you're losing games, you start to kind of, whatever it is you like about that coach, it doesn't matter. What do we always say when a coach gets fired that you like? Oh, great guy, love the guy. How many times did we say when Jay Norvell was fired, amazing guy, you hate to see it for him, but at the end of the day, it's a business. That's what it is. And if the Buffs win 6+ this year, then you go, yeah, this thing is working. Because now you got two good seasons, one okay season, and one really good season. You start to build the resume up. But right now his resume is not fantastic. Out of 3 years, he's had two bad years and one really good year. If they're good this year, we're not going to be complaining about every little thing he says, every little story that he's involved in. Look at Bill Belichick. I mean, you got the UNC story today about Lombardi, and he has 6 Super Bowl rings. You put up with some of this stuff. The girlfriend thing was annoying. But if he wins, you don't care. They didn't win last year. So it's a sideshow. It's a circus. They beat TCU last weekend, and suddenly you go, okay, well, maybe they're going to be better this year. Maybe TCU's bad, I don't know. But if you're winning games, it erases all of that. And that's as simple as it needs to be. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you want to get at us here, come out and say hi to us. We're live and on location from CB and Potts. Restaurant and tap room out at the Collindale Golf Course. Texter coming in from Faith. Finally, CU has coaches and not showboats. I think you have a guy in Brennan Marion who, if you're not paying attention, he's not a big name. He was the head coach for Sac State last year. That's an FCS school. He was a coordinator. He was moving up the ranks as coordinator, you know, positions coach to coordinator. Not a big name nationally. I do think he's an up-and-coming name in the world of college football. But he's busy. Watch him during the games compared to Coach Prime. I mean, he's always talking on that mic. He's always planning something. He's looking at his plays. He's going through it. Coach Prime is a general manager. He is. I remember Ed McCaffrey. And what I was told about Ed McCaffrey, UNC, that he viewed himself as the CEO of the football team. That he wanted to be more of the general manager. And that he would hire the coordinators. They would run the show. Offensively, he's in control. Defensively, it's this guy. But he's the coach. He gets to roam the sidelines. And he makes the big decisions. But he's not really leading the game plan. That's the vibe I get, certainly, from Coach Prime. Not to say that's a bad thing. It's not to say that can't work or won't work. I see that happens in college sports. There's a lot of coaches like that. Jim Mora might be one of those guys. He's not calling plays. So it can work, but you have to hire the right people. And right now, we're very excited about Brennan Marion, even though they scored 14 points last night. You know, that's not necessarily what we were all thinking this was going to be, was a low-scoring affair, and CU wins somehow. But the bottom line is, they found a way to get it done, and I thought the run game looked very good. And if they can keep that going, this could be a good football team. I have my doubts because of the opponent last night. I'm not sure Georgia Tech is all that good, but that's why we have a lot of these games, to figure things out. It was a sloppy game until the end, and then it was exciting. I think there's a lot of question marks surrounding their young quarterback and Juju Lewis. And that's why I'm thinking maybe they go with the Air Force model. Let's just run the football like crazy. But, yeah, see who's 1-0. The UNC Bears are 0-1. And we're going to find out what the rest of these teams are going to do this weekend. We've got Border War, of course, CSU and Wyoming. And we got UNC playing host to South Dakota, and then Air Force and Quiznos, or whatever it is. They should probably blow that team out. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not cover that spread. But it's early, and we learn a little bit at a time about these teams. I'm very interested in the Border War. I think the Wyoming story, Jay Sauvell, going into year three. Cowboys fans, I think a lot of Cowboys fans were ready to move on from Craig Bohl. Craig Bohl was a guy that you're winning a lot of games early in midseason where you're at least talking about them potentially being, you know, a team that could compete in the Mountain West Conference Championship. But then the bottom would fall out. They didn't get a pass game going, and it was tough for them the last few weeks of the season, and then they would fall out of contention for a conference championship game. That was still pretty good. And they all kind of decided, I think, mutual, Craig Bohl's moving on, and then you bring in Jay Sovell. Defensive-minded guy, but promises to throw the football more. They're not just going to run all the time. Haven't seen it yet. Haven't seen Wyoming take that step. Is this the year you start to see some offense from the Cowboys? 21 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. We're live and on location from CBN Potts Restaurant and Tap Room for their kickoff CSU football weekend Friday night. Lights, come out and say hi to us. The party starts officially here at 3 o'clock. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Drink, and I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, live and on location at CB and Potts Restaurant and Tap Room at the Collindale Golf Course as a part of the Friday Night Lights kickoff CSU football weekend party. We're getting ready for the big one. The big one tomorrow. It's early in the season, but it's odd having this game because normally you have an idea of who these teams are. So we can really dive into the matchups. But now it's week one, and it's also a lot of unknowns about CSU. Yeah, we see a lot of the guys, Juice Vereen, Mel Brown, a lot of these UConn transfers coming over from, with basically following Jim Mora. How will that translate to the Pac-12 and for Colorado State? I think very well. None of the teams in our area have really been picked to do much of anything. And I think CU's was over, 4.5 was their win total, 3.5 for CSU. UNC's probably not far behind if they were picked last by second to last in the media poll, and I think last in the coaches poll, or maybe I'm flipping that. Now, Wyoming I don't think was much greater. Air Force maybe a little higher. But I just like to see a positive weekend from these, from UNC. Can you pull off a crazy upset and beat South Dakota? I mean, Mike, I don't know if you've heard about that spread, but it's South Dakota favored by 20.5. Last year, I think they were favored by 28, and we went to overtime. Air Force is a big favorite, and CSU is a slight favorite, 3.5, I believe. Now, a lot of that's just unknown. A lot of the people that have talked about Colorado State, if they are talking about Jim Mora nationally and that kind of thing, it's that they don't know him. Now, Jim Mora's got a pretty decent resume. He's not a world beater. Like he's had success. He's not like a championship caliber coach. But I'd be curious to see with the resources that he has at CSU if that will make the turn for both Jim Mora and CSU. When they made this hire, I was absolutely thrilled. His experience in the NFL, I remember following him, during his Falcons days, UCLA, and of course at UConn. He's a good coach. I just think that sometimes we see good average to good coaches flip schools and go, all over the place. They just find a new situation, and it's better for them. So I'm really optimistic about the Jim Mora future here. It was tough. Last year was tough because I think a lot of fans really like Jay Norvell. but they just kind of got tired of it. It was, there was a lot of confusion as to who was going to be calling the plays. Is it going to be Matt Mummy? Is it going to be Jay? Oh, it is going to be Matt. Oh, this is the end of the beginning of the end once he officially made that change. That was the Hail Mary. That was Jay just saying, you know what? I can't seem to figure it out anymore, so let's go that route. Why did it fail in Colorado State when it was successful at Nevada? That's one of those mysteries that we just will probably never know. But this happens. Coaches go somewhere. They were successful. So Jim McElwain, 3 years with CSU, every year got better. Goes to Florida, bad. Didn't work out. Different competition, different pressures. Why doesn't it work out for some coaches when they make that change? And then other coaches, look at Bill Belichick. His first head coaching job was terrible, and then he becomes a six-time winning Super Bowl guy. Is that what you can expect with Jim Mora? I feel like I talked about this yesterday on Rams Weekly with Kevin Lytle. I think fans are more cautious this year than I remember. I don't see, I mean, the type of name they brought in Jim Mora should garner more excitement, a lot more. I feel like Rams fans are dialing it back. And that's okay, because you've been hurt before, man. You're not going all in. We were all pumped about the Jay Norvell for air raid stuff. And then they didn't even do that. They weren't even a Ford air raid team. And then that, I think that bruised a lot of Rams fans to where they're thinking, we like Jim Mora, man. That's a big freaking name, but we've been here before. We've seen this stuff. I do think if it works for Mora, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, this is a stepping stone school. I don't think so. Mora's not a spring chicken. I don't know, and he's in the Pac-12. You're going to have an opportunity. If you win the Pac-12, there's a good chance you're going to be a playoff team on any given year, assuming the rules stay the same the way they are right now. Smitty texting, and Jay's system only worked with an NFL QB. Carson Strong was a coach on the field with an NFL arm. Yes, go Bears? Did we get a go Bears? We get a go Rams? I don't know. Tanner's trying to talk to me, and he's 4 million miles away from me. He's back. He's behind me. The other problem with Jay was he put his eggs in the basket, all in the one quarterback basket. You know, he brought Clay Millen over. Clay followed him because he was a recruit that was going to go to Nevada. Clay came here. I thought he gave up on Clay. I mean, he had his freshman year, which wasn't great. Did have a really good completion percentage, but he was throwing, you know, four-yard passes. When it started to turn for me with Jay was how he handled that. And I was very close to it, so maybe that's part of it. But Clay had a bad first half against Washington State. They pulled him at halftime, or maybe it was after the first possession of halftime. They pulled him, and it was BFN. And BFN wasn't much better in that game. But there was no quarterback competition after. It was, you're done. I was at that game. I was watching the sidelines. When Clay was putting his helmet on to go back out, he walked up to Norvell. Norvell said something, turned his back on Clay, walked away from him. My guess is it was something along the lines of, no, you're done. That was it. And Clay was done. Jay made the switch. Not only did he make the switch, he went all in on BFN. That was his guy. He went out to Kevin Lytle. He went out to the press. And he doubled down and said, our guy is so good that K-State is making offers for him. He's our guy. And he talked about him glowingly. Stuck with him through thick and thin. He only pulled him because the pressure was so severe. And I think it was bad for BFN to keep him in there because he turned out to not be a good quarterback. What is he, in Michigan now, like their eighth-string quarterback? I liked him for a moment, but that was Jay's issue. He couldn't find the guy at quarterback, which is the case for a lot of coaches. Look at Vance Joseph. You give Vance Joseph Bo Nix when he's the head coach, maybe he's still the head coach for the Broncos. Maybe not, but you were in quarterback purgatory for the Broncos for a very long time. If Jay could have found that Carson Strong-type quarterback, would he still be here? Would they be more successful? They didn't have the guy that could run the offense that Jay wanted to run with Matt Mummy. They just didn't have that quarterback. They were a running team, a ground-and-pound team. That was not what was advertised. So, yes, Mindy, that's a good text. A lot of it is, if you can't find the quarterback, then you're doomed. Because it's all about winning games, and primarily it's a quarterback that's going to win you those games. But it just didn't work out for Jay Norvell. So I do think Rams fans are, I don't even know if cautiously optimistic is the right word. I don't even know how optimistic you are. I think it's a wait-and-see kind of thing. I'm not saying that deep down, secretly, you're not like, oh, freaking Jim Moore, this is amazing. But you've been hurt before. And now you kind of just want to see if this will work out. Because bottom line is, guys, there hasn't been a lot to root for Colorado State. I mean, Mike Bobo had some success. Jim McElwain, obviously, his third year was great. Would they have 10 wins? And then he was gone. I think people were slightly excited about Bobo, you know, the Georgia connections and all that. But that ran its course. D'Azio was a train wreck. Jay Norvell was a big promise and a big under-delivery. It's been a rough go for CSU. And I think that if Jim can find this second wind, third wind, whatever, with Colorado State, then I think he stays here. I don't see him as the kind of, at his age and what he's done, I don't see him making a major team. Now, let's say, like, CSU goes undefeated this year. They win the Pac-12. They go to the playoffs. They maybe even win a playoff game. Is he going to get a big offer from somebody? Maybe. But I think he'd have to have damn near a perfect season for him to get a big enough offer to warrant him leaving. So I don't think this is a stepping stone territory for Mora unless he's just that freaking good. But excited to see it. Excited to see what this Pac-12 is all about. Okay, we'll be out here until 2 o'clock, and then we're going to shift over to Rocky Mountain kickoff here in less than 30 minutes. We got Mike Danson, we got Tanner Schwint, we got the dude down the hall, Derbs, hanging out as well, so they'll be joining us here in just a moment. But we'll take a quick break here live from CB and Potts Restaurant and Tap Room, the Collindale Golf Course here in Fort Collins. Kickoff CSU football weekend party here set for 3 o'clock, so we are dangerously close to kicking this thing off as we preview all things Border War, Colorado State, and Wyoming. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, live from CB and Potts Restaurant and Tap Room at the Collindale Golf Course at Fort Collins. We're getting set for, it's Friday Night Lights, kickoff CSU football weekend party set for 3 o'clock. So we're getting dangerously close to that. We've got Mike Danson and Tanner Schwint here. And the dude down the hall, did you want to join me? Which one are you plugged into?
The very last one.
Okay. This one?
No.
This one. now try to talk. Tanner?
I love that I get
Tanner,
the double as a tech
Tanner,
guy, too.
Tanner? I'm sorry. I'm talking and doing stuff at the same time. I can't.
Well, you can't even control that banner you have right in front of you. It keeps flying away.
Because it's windy. You can't do anything in the wind.
We're doing this in the wind?
Barely. Tanner Schwint, big, big exciting game last night for the Buffaloes.
Very, very exciting. I think it was one of those games, Brady, that was almost... both these teams are really, really, really bad, and it was just both two bad teams that made it an exciting game.
You think so? You think CU is still bad?
What does your eye test tell you?
They're bad.
Yeah.
I liked the running backs. I liked their offensive line. Yeah. Defensively, I think they definitely picked it up. But Georgia Tech, man, They got some issues. They had, what, three false starts in a row to end the half when they were in
very
a position where they could run, they could actually potentially go down and try to get to a field goal, but instead, it's false start, and you move so far back that now you can't do anything.
Yeah, very undisciplined. I thought Mendoza settled in well there for a minute. There was one drive where I think it was 3 of 4 for 70-some-odd yards. I'm like, okay, there it is. Now Georgia Tech's going to roll. But you do got to give it – I mean, you got to give kudos to CU. You know what it actually felt like to me was that Deion didn't have his hands all over this team. And I don't know if they – like.
Did you notice that every time they cut to Deion – his microphone is up over his headset, and he's just staring.
Maybe he's just letting his coaches coach. Yes, maybe that's what it is. But no, I mean, even
paying
just
a lot of money for a guy to let other people coach.
In the roster construction, though, Brady, that's what I'm talking about. Because that defensive line, it wasn't the flash, it wasn't the Rolex, it wasn't this, it wasn't any of this other stuff. It was just simply let's go out there and play football, which we haven't seen in the prime era, you know, at CU ever. So, let me be very clear. I think CU is still going to be bad, but I'd rather be bad and win early and then let the realization set in later on, because no one had them winning that game. 6.5-point dogs in Georgia Tech, which I learned last night. It wasn't even a fun game, though. Like, it was ugly. It was dirty. It was – and not in the, hey, we're going to go smash mouth and we're going to punt the ball. It was miscue here, miscue there, miscue here. It was just – it was not a fun game to watch, but good for the win.
I think there were good parts about it. Again, I like all four of their running backs. I think that all on 3rd and 4 with 55 seconds left and the Buffs decide to run the ball and they pick up 16 yards – it's a brilliant play call. Gutsy, too. Because if you run the ball, you'll get anything. You're going to have plus his 4
I'll counter that and say, okay, he did a turnover in the first quarter, and you get down there at the goal line, and it literally just been isolated. You've been 5 to 6 yards every single time, and then you try and do a reverse sweep. What are you doing? Stop with the cutesy bull crap. Just run it down their throat and go get a touchdown. And they didn't do it. And then on the last play on that 4th and 6 there, 4th and goal, the 6-yard line, they pick up 5 yards, get down to the 1. Had they just lined up and ran ISO all night, they would have been in a better spot.
Yeah.
But they kept getting in their way. They kept getting in their way.
They learned that as the game progressed. They got away from the cutesy stuff. And it was just run the ball right down the middle of the field.
Juju Lewis is really bad.
He's not good. Mike Danson's joining us as well. Mike?
So, two things for me. They ran the ball well, which they have not done since
ever.
The Deion age started at CU.
Correct. Yep.
They stopped the run pretty well.
They were terrible at that last year, too.
They stopped the run. And the last that broken touchdown is one that stands out to me because that was a fantastic throw.
It was?
It was a great throw. And that has to give you hope for this young kid to be able to step in and lead the program.
It was a great he had a lot of moments, but all the receivers were dropping. They were dropping a lot of stuff, too.
Lead a program based off of one throw? Are you on your door?
Both quarterbacks were having trouble with ball in hand. Mendoza looked like he had. Who knows what he did on his hands, but he had a lot of stuff on his hands to help control the ball. They were both struggling, and Juju's passes that he was throwing were on target, just low.
Who would you feel more confident about having right now, though? Alberto Mendoza or Juju Lewis? Because there is a correct answer to this.
You know, and if you tell me we were playing a game tomorrow, which quarterback you want, if you're telling me 2 years I have a game,
you can't play this with your game. I don't care, but you can't do that when you're done and all that. That felt like shift from that, though.
The fact that they were running the ball successfully last night is a huge plus.
I will agree with that.
One thing that stood out to me is the commentators were talking about, you don't ever see this, but they have 8 offensive linemen that can play, and they said they were rotating offensive linemen, which was really
you Tanner mentioned that, you know,
there it is.
You weren't quite sure what this game was.
Yeah. I didn't know meteorologist.
We're in pulling off.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff is back. Hear the fellas every Friday at 2 and gear up for another big weekend of football. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Picks are on Friday, everybody knows that, and it's time. It's time here. I got a live studio audience.
Woo!
Cheer me on. Breath mint derps. Air Force is taking on Dos Equis, the Quiznos. I don't know what it is. I just know that
Kenny Chesney.
29.5 points for Air Force.
Whoa.
We took 28.5 a couple days ago. Makes feel any better.
Okay, I'm going to go Air Force cover. Minus 29.5. UNC in South Dakota. South Dakota is a 20.5 point favorite.
Yay.
Kenny Luth going to get it done. Not win, but cover. But cover. Final game before we break here. The border war. Wyoming and CSU. Back and forth, my little mind goes. I'm out here at CB and Potts, man. So, no, I think CSU covers. Minus 3.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go Rams.
Let's go Rams.
We're going to be over 500 by the time Monday rolls around.
Bah.
That's a Ram.
Bah.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff coming up next, live from CB and Potts. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.